In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. It was over before it began. Jesus goes out to meet Satan on the battlefield. Now you might be thinking, as often people do, that Satan and Jesus are two cosmic forces fighting against one another. Of this good and evil, they're fighting a battle in which the outcome is uncertain. You might think that before it begins, it could go either way. Jesus, Satan. But once the battle starts, you know that isn't true. For Jesus is God, and the devil is a creature. Jesus is a man, and yet he is sinless man. Now, you might think now it's not fair that Jesus is sinless and that this is not really a temptation to his flesh, and maybe it doesn't really count as a temptation. But that is sort of like saying that if you are drowning, it's not really fair if a person in a boat saves you just because they weren't being pulled under the same current that you were. No, it counts. It's real. God's salvation in Christ is real. And the temptation is real, as we learned on Ash Wednesday. Christ has been tempted in every respect, as we have been, but yet without sin. Nevertheless, the outcome was never in doubt. For Jesus comes not to see who is stronger. Jesus comes not to see if he will really come out on top of it all, but precisely to defeat the devil. This is why Jesus takes on human flesh. This is why he goes out into the wilderness. This is why he is led by the Holy Spirit of God to defeat the devil and to come out victorious for your sake. So when the devil comes out to tempt Jesus, the devil takes aim at that which had been spoken by God the Father to Jesus. The word that had been spoken to Jesus at his baptism. For Jesus never really got into the water, so to speak. He was never drowning under his own sin because he didn't have any. But he did indeed go into the water because of your sin. Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River where all these sinners were confessing their sin, and therefore they were joined to Jesus by his baptism. And so he does defeat sin for you. And after that, in his baptism, he is led out into the wilderness to be tempted as we are, and yet he does not fall to sin, primarily to defeat the devil. But what is this word that the devil tempts Jesus with? If you are the Son of God. That's the phrase. If you are the Son of God. Which is not exactly what his father had told Jesus when he was baptized. He said, "No, you are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. For in you is my good pleasure that you would be for the entire creation." So that's the word that the devil uses to attack Jesus. He attacks his sonship. If you are the Son of God. If you are the Son of God, why in the world has your father left you out in the wilderness, hungry and starving to death? Why hasn't he given you any food? You know, you should really probably exercise some of that authority that you have, apparently, and turn these stones into bread and eat. But Jesus believes the word of his Father absolutely. He is the faithful Son. He is the faithful Israel. Unlike Israel, as you know, as you have read of Israel in the books of Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, that they were a horribly grumbling people, a complaining people. Israel never had enough. Israel never had enough food. They never had enough water. Not to mention that they complained about the food and the water that they had been given. Remind you of anyone? Indeed, it should. But unlike we who have so many blessings of God, we still find time to complain about what we do not have. And we want more. But Jesus never complains. Jesus is absolutely faithful. Jesus believes the word of his Father all the way. He is the Son of the Father. So he responds to the devil with a word from the book of Deuteronomy. You know it well. Man shall not live by bread alone, but he shall live by every word that proceedeth or cometh from the mouth of God. And the word that proceeded from the mouth of God right before this is again, "You are my Son, in whom I am well pleased." And Jesus believes this. Jesus believes the word of his Father, for the word of the Father is the word of the Son. And the work of the Father is the work of the Son. And the will of the Father is the will of the Son. So the devil, defeated in that way, takes Jesus and shows him all the kingdoms of the earth in a moment of time. All their glory, all their authority, all their power. And he says to him, "This has all been given to me, and I can give it to whomever I please. I will give it to you. All you got to do is just bow down and worship me. That's it. And you know what, Jesus? You don't have to go through all this suffering and this cross, etc. I will give it to you for free. It's right here. All you have to do is just bow down and worship me." But Jesus is the Son of the Father. He will go the way of the faithful Son, which is through this suffering and through this cross. And when he comes out the other side of the resurrection, he will then be given all the kingdoms and all the power and all authority by his Father. For he will do it that way. He will not do it the devil's way. So again, defeated, the devil takes Jesus upon the top of the temple. And he says, "If again you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. Certainly your Father will not let you strike your foot against a stone. Because don't you know he will send angels to guard and protect you? Again, just throw yourself down." And Jesus responds again in a familiar text, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Now, this is true for Jesus. He is the perfect, faithful, holy Son. He will never put the word of his Father to the test. He will never doubt the word of his Father. He will never try and see if what God is saying is truly true. He will keep the word of his Father. And so, this is also a word to the devil. "You, devil, shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Jesus is God. The devil is a creature. You, devil, you have a God. And this God has taken on flesh. And he's standing right in front of you. And he has come into the world to put an end to your reign and your power. Now this might appear to you as a skirmish in a long war. It might appear to you that maybe the devil has lost this fight this time, but he's just simply going to come back stronger the next time. And in fact, that is how it appears, right? Especially later in Luke's gospel when Jesus is being arrested and he says, Now is the hour and authority of the darkness. Now is the hour when darkness shall appear to reign and have won. Now is the hour when darkness appears to have won and the victory seems to be theirs. But here's the great irony and comfort of the Christian faith. But the means of the devil's apparent victory is actually the means of Jesus' victory and his salvation. So, he says in John's Gospel, Jesus, he says, before he goes to the cross, now is the judgment of this world. Now, that is at the cross of Jesus, now the ruler of this world is judged. He is cast out. See, the devil is not lying when he says that all of these kingdoms have been given to him. But what he does is he conveniently leaves out the most important part. That's the way the devil always works. He tells you a half-truth and he leaves out the most important part. And the most important part is this. The devil has a time limit. He has a leash. The book of Revelation tells us that when he is cast out of heaven, that is the devil, woe to the sea and the earth, because he comes down in full wrath and anger, precisely because his time is short. He knows it's coming to an end and is going to come to an end at the crucifixion of Jesus. So really, it was over before it began. And this was God's plan in Jesus Christ, even before time, to defeat sin, death, and the devil. But it would appear to you, according to yourself, and what we confess regarding sin, that it was over for you before it began. Because before you were born, when you were conceived in sin, as King David testifies in Psalm 51. According to your own self, you had lost the battle before it even began. Because from your parents, Adam and Eve, you had received sin. Sin which truly is sin. Sin which truly could and does condemn you to hell. It appears to be over before it began. But you were under the power and reign of the devil, bound to him. But this is the reason why Jesus enters the wilderness on your behalf. Unlike ourselves, we have one who can truly fight and win the battle. One who fights for us. Jesus enters into this world, enters into this battle on our behalf, and takes upon himself our sin. He puts us on his back. He literally puts us in his body. He does this in your holy baptism. And he says to the members of the devil's kingdom, you know what, devil? No, these baptized children are mine. I have put my word with the water on them, and they are mine. This one belongs to me. And if you are joined to Jesus, what happens to Jesus happens to you. So when Jesus died, you died. When sin died in Jesus, sin died. But when Jesus also rose from the dead, you also will rise from the dead. Jesus overcomes temptation and sin, so you overcome temptation and sin. But here's the other thing that happens that we don't ever really think about. That what happens, because the devil is the enemy of Jesus, now Jesus' enemies become our enemies. Sin, death, and the devil are your enemies because you're in Christ. Luther notes something very important in what is called his baptismal booklet. He says the following. For it is no joke to take action against the devil in holy baptism. Because when a person is baptized, You hang around that person's neck a lifelong enemy. The reason the devil is your enemy is because Jesus is your Father. That the reason he seeks to devour you is because you are in Christ. If you're not in Christ, the devil doesn't care. It's when you're joined to Jesus that the devil becomes your enemy. But the reason the devil becomes your enemy is because he is conquered by your Savior Jesus Christ. God has rescued you from the authority of darkness. He's transferred you to the reign and rule of his Son through baptism. So when the devil comes against you in temptation, when the devil tries to get you to doubt Jesus' word, when the devil tries to get you to doubt the promises that Jesus says to you and doubt the efficacy of his sacraments for you, whatever you do, don't try and stand there and fight him with a laundry list of Bible passages. Do not try and stand against him. No. Flee to Jesus. Take refuge in Jesus, the Word made flesh. For this is why we pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Because you know what? We're not Jesus. But Jesus, thanks be to God, is the Son of God. And so we take refuge in him. We take refuge in his word of promise. For in the word of the Father is now the word of our Father. You are my son, you are my daughter, in whom I am well pleased. An unbreakable promise. For as long as you abide in Christ Jesus and his gifts, you have already won. So we find out that in Christ, the battle was over before it began. That God chose you in Jesus Christ before the foundations of this earth were even laid. That before you even ever knew it, God chose you in your baptism and put his name upon you. So before the battle even began, before you even got a crack at fighting in the battle, if you will, against the devil's temptations, before the devil ever attacked you, before you did anything right or wrong or good or sinful, Christ claimed you as his own. This is a long way of saying this is the doctrine of predestination. The battle was over before it began. According to the word of God in flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. So no matter what the devil may do, no matter what his fallen angels may do, this you confessed in hymnody. The word they shall let remain. They're not going to have any thanks for it, and they're not going to like it, and they're going to persecute it, but it's still going to remain. And therefore, Christ is by our side. And he is upon the plain, and he's in the valley with us, with these good gifts of his Spirit. That is the sacrament of the altar. So, devil, you can take it all. You can take my goods, you can take my fame, you can take my children, you can take my wife, you can strip me naked and take my body. Though these all be gone, I still have won the victory. The kingdom of God is ours, and it remains eternal for us. It was long over before it even began, because it remains eternally very good in Christ. In the name of Jesus, Amen.